Hey everybody, it's Sunny. I just wanted to tell you to go sign up at the Patreon, subbeacon.com. We're going to be talking about Morbius, the living vampire, and I think there's going to be some good comic book glut talk on this episode. Spoiler, I can already predict that Vic is not going to be a fan, but there is some interesting stuff here, I think, and JBL and I may have some comic book talk. So if you like comic book, like not comic book movie, but comic book talk, check that out. And on the bonus episode this week, we're going to be revisiting Winning Time, the show about the classic Winning Time franchise, you know, the Winning Time Lakers, famous in the 1980s. So anyway, go sign up at the Patreon, subbeacon.com. You'll easily find us. It's as little as a dollar a month. You get to help keep this show sustainable, which, you know, trust me, Vic's not going to see Morbius out of the kindness of his heart. He's doing it to entertain you, the people.
The fact that she's comfortable flaunting all these relationships around all of us, you're better than that.
She's different. That's what I like about her.
I just want to feel joy in my life.
You want to tell me why you didn't come home last night?
Not really.
This isn't a game, Melinda.
It's always been a game.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Jonathan V. Last and Sunny Bunch. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon is now available through Patreon. Go to subbeacon.com. You'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and don't forget about the Subbeacon merchandise store at tpublic.com. Gentlemen, how are we? JVL, what's going on?
I am in a rage.
Ooh, a rage.
I've been in a rage since yesterday. I am in such a rage that I returned to Twitter this evening.
Wow. Oh, yes. I happened to glance and saw, and it was something that I thought was clearly a hoax, a deep fake.
Mm-mm.
Explain.
No, it's Sunny, real.
Sunny, did you actually miss
this? I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
I've been off
Twitter most of the day.
You are
weirdly
in for a treat. That is weird.
On Wednesday night, it was revealed that the Swatch Group had partnered two of its brands, Swatch and Omega, and they made them kiss. They made them make out like that. And they have released a Moon Swatch. It is a $260 version of the famous Omega Speedmaster, the watch which was worn to the moon.
Like who are like Neil Armstrong or so?
All of them. It was the watch that NASA chose for all these missions. And Swatch has made a plastic version of it, which they call bioceramic. It's not ceramic, it's plastic.
The bio.
It's quartz. It runs on a battery. It is so shitty that the second doesn't even like hit the marks on the second hands, and it's water resistant like 30 feet, which means like don't shower with it, and it comes in 11 different colorways, from bright red to a fake Tiffany knockoff blue. And when I saw this, I was immediately angry because of two things. First of all, this is like, it's just sacrilege, like taking an iconic watch like this and self-consciously making a candy-colored knockoff of it. But also, I realized that this would be, this was going to sell out immediately.
Really?
And that it would become a sensation because people are awful, and that it would within, I in fact wrote about this on Thursday morning, and I said, you know, within 5 minutes, these things are going to be going for double on eBay. Now, I was wrong about this.
Oh, let me guess. They were going for quadruple.
10x.
Whoa!
Oh, come on.
So these $260 watches were going for $2,600 on eBay.
Question. Question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, question why.
What, how much of a discount is that from the inferior standard Omega watches?
You can buy a used Speedmaster for basically the same price.
Okay, so what you're saying is that you can get a used non-bioluminescent.
Yes, made of only steel. I'm sorry, it's made of steel.
You can get the inferior, older, used one for about the same price as you. I mean, this sounds like the market working.
Here's a question.
Stop thinking about this.
JVL, did you say it was like a limited, there was like a limited release or no?
No, it's not even a limited release.
Okay, so if it's not a limited release, why is it being sold for that amount versus people just buying it for $260?
Because Swatch is only selling it at their boutiques, of which there are not very many anymore.
No. Oh, there's one in Dallas. Do you want me to? There's one at the North Park here in Dallas. Do you want me to go get you one?
Sonny, you need to get it.
So I am not kidding, Sonny. If there is one nearby, I'd like you to go to it tomorrow. You're only allowed to buy two. They only sell you two at a time.
What color do you want?
Buy two of the Mars watches, because I'm telling you that the Mars watches are going to be, although the fake Tiffany blue, so they are all called the Mission 2, and then there's like the Mission,
like
to,
Mission
Mercury,
to Mars.
The Mission, there's even a Mission to Uranus.
that one is colored brown.
No, that's the Tiffany blue one.
We're getting that one for Vic.
I am telling you, Sonny.
I've always wanted to go there.
If you could go and buy two of the Mars ones and then just put them up on eBay.
Question.
Then you could then buy yourself a Rolex.
Question.
That's
if
true.
If I'm able to get three of these, can we do the Parker Lewis can't lose Swatch thing? Where they put their hands in the middle and they all synchronized swatches.
He was like the Ferris Bueller of TV.
He was the Fox knockoff of Ferris Bueller.
I love that show. But also, he was in The Stand. He was that guy, Neiman, Corin Nemec or whatever his name was the...
He was the bad guy, right?
He was the nerdy kid bad guy.
Who gets turned by Laura, what's her name? Laura Giacomo.
Yeah.
Laura San Giacomo. Yeah. So if you have a few moments tomorrow, Sonny, please do go over there. I can tell you in order which ones to buy in case they're sold out of ones, because I can tell you right now which ones are going to be hot. It is going to be the in order, it will go Mars, then Uranus, then the Saturn. People will love the Saturn. There will be the classic moon one, probably towards the middle. And just buy lots of them. Buy as many as they'll sell you.
If I buy three, can we all wear them together next time we hang out?
No, we will sell them.
Can we wear them once together and then sell them?
That would be higher.
Sub-Beacon branded moon Swatch watch.
We'll each sign the box.
This was the one worn by Vic to Uranus. Yes.
JVL, did you see the thing that I sent you on Slack?
Which thing? I mean, we're on Slack together all day.
It's a watch thing specifically. The Bulgari Octo Finissimo Ultra 40mm sandblasted titanium case
with
and tungsten carbide plate, which, like, when you open it up and you look on the inside on the wheel, whatever the rotor wheel, whatever they call that, whatever they call that dumb part of the watch, there's a QR code that you snap it and it sends you to your own very rare NFT.
One
it
of
combines
one.
All of your interests, watches, titanium,
and
NFTs,
crypto.
I like don't understand how you have not already purchased this. Hold on. Let me check. 400,000 euro watch.
So by Bulgari.
My question is whether or not the watch functions as the wallet for the NFT, or if they could be separated. So if you bought the watch, could you then sell the NFT and still keep the watch? Or are they linked together?
I don't know. Is the watch
basically like the cold storage for the NFT? And the answer is I don't know.
You know what I liked about this Omega Swatch thing was the wristband, because on one side it said Omega and the other side it said Swatch.
Oh my God. Have you seen them, Vic?
Just the one on Twitter that you showed, the picture. I clicked it on because I said this can't be real.
Oh, it's real.
It's two different brands, two different. I don't know, clienteles, if you will.
So are Omega and Swatch owned by the same company?
The Swatch Group.
Wow.
Owns them both. The Swatch Group owns everything. They're like,
that's interesting.
What's the big distilled
Diageo? Diageo. Like, it's the Diageo of watches?
Yeah. Wow. They're the Diageo of watches. They own everything. They're the worst.
It's because they made such a fantastic product.
Well, that's why. It's because their watches are so good.
Right. That's why. And if they break down, you can just buy a new one for like $10.
It brought him out. It brought him out just when he thought he was out. Swatch pulled him back in.
That's what got me.
Yeah.
Not politics. What brought me back in was the fucking moon Swatch.
I thought it was fake. I couldn't believe this was happening. Sonny, how are you?
Now I'm excited to go buy some Swatches. You know how I feel about Swatch. It's the watch of a new generation.
Yes. What else is going on with you?
In my neighborhood, we have coyotes.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
I live in Dallas proper. I mean, it's mm-hmm. But it's like a kind of a it has a suburban-y feel, my area. I live not too far from a lake, White Rock North Lake, mm-hmm. and my area of Dallas is not like high rises and
you're not downtown
skyscrapers. I'm not downtown. I'm in an area with tree-lined streets mm-hmm. and yards and the such. But we have coyotes. The other day I was like sitting there, I was doing some work, and all of a sudden I hear Beth go, ah! And I'm like, oh crap, what's happened? Has she dropped something? What's going on? And then she yells, there's a coyote out front. So I go and look, and it's already gone by the time I get there, but she's gotten a picture of it. It was in fact a coyote.
Did you shoot it?
No, but I ran out with a broom. There was a broom, but not like a grown up broom. It was my little kid's. My daughter's like little play broom, yeah, you know. It's like
that'll stop the coyote. All right,
it's like
in a fight with a coyote. Like, give me the child's play
broom. It's like 30 inches long, maybe, and like about a quarter thick. If a coyote had come at me, it would have eaten me because the stick would have done nothing. Yeah. The goggles, they do nothing. The broom, it does nothing.
I wonder, do you do a double tail, like the size of it, because it's like, it's like not a wolf, it's not a dog. It's like, oh, wait a minute. You can tell by the look.
So the next couple days later, I'm driving one of my kids mm-hmm. to his school. And we're just driving up the road, and all of a sudden I look over to the right, and I'm like, oh no, that dog got loose. Nope, that was the coyote. It was it's just a big dog. It's like a big long. It's like
okay,
it's between a dog and a wolf. I mean,
yeah,
it's like not as big as a wolf.
It's distinct in that way.
It's not as big as a wolf, but it's like. It's bigger than, you know, your kind of standard. It's not like a Labrador, right? It's got like the long face, and it was just traveling
along. Face. Like, boop, 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 and it is
don't
scavenging.
Packs?
Yeah, that's right.
So Beth has actually seen them in packs running when she goes and runs around the lake. She sees them at dusk and dawn. Mm-hmm. But they stay
dusk
way away from people. They don't come near people.
Yeah. Question. For now. Wait till they realize that people are not...
Who would you take in a fight? Pack of coyotes versus pack of wolves versus pack of hyenas?
Oh.
Now, the hyenas have supposedly like the greatest bite strength of any animal on the planet.
Yes,
yeah,
they do.
Yeah, but they're scavengers.
But they're smaller. No, they'll eat anything.
I would say, I mean, like we're talking about North American wolves.
Yeah, I'd easily go with coyote.
You would take the coyote over
the coyote's the worst.
No,
of all
no, no. I'm saying if I was in a fight with them, I would have to fend off the coyote.
Oh, each other.
The wolf.
More than the hyena.
You and your pack of billionaire friends have gotten together in the mountains, and you've decided to pit the animals against each other.
Oh, I see.
In the next round, it's gonna be polar bear versus alligator.
Alligator, right. Ape versus
tiger.
In
yes.
this
okay,
one,
got it.
In this one, it is wolf versus coyote.
I don't
versus
know.
Hyena.
You know, hyena is very sort. I mean, you're right. The jaw strength is really impressive. On the other hand, I did see the movie Frozen once, and I'm not talking about the Disney movie. I'm talking about the teens who get stuck on the ski lift and it shuts down because they wanted the free ride, and then the one guy falls down, breaks his like ankle, he can't move, and then the wolves just go to town on him.
I think the hyenas are supposed to be superior at tactics, though. Like, they communicate with each other, and they're smart. I don't know.
A pack of wolves.
I'd like to see it.
Wolves are so... I mean, wolves are big, is the thing. Like, wolves are exceptionally large. Yes. Like, you think, like...
I've seen National Geographic.
Game of Thrones.
I've seen National Geographic.
Dire wolf.
Pack of hyenas go after a lion, and they beat the living shit out of the lion.
Don't they usually just wait for the animal to be dead and then they go to town and then they just fend people off, right?
This is what I've learned. What I've learned from Lion King is that
scraps.
Hyenas are disgusting scavengers.
Scraps.
Who should be kept out of your kingdom at all costs.
Yes, because all the other animals are happy to be eaten by you, the lion.
Exactly.
They're just grateful to be part of the food chain.
The Lion King teaches you that everybody has their place. When you have a properly functioning kingdom, all of the people within the kingdom have their place, and it's the filthy, disgusting outsiders with their diseased, mange-ridden skin sack fur. Yeah. Ugh, gross. You want to keep them out. You want to keep them away. Just keep your kingdom pure.
Yeah,
that's what. That's the lesson of the line.
Allowed
purity.
Oh yeah,
kingdom.
This is strictly. We're talking strictly about animals here. Don't get nervous, everybody. Yes,
Sonny, are you
allowed? That is like the most fascist movie that's ever been made. I'm just saying, both the live action and the cartoon one.
All right, Sonny, what is the Texas policy on shooting coyotes? Are you encouraged to kill them?
I don't know. I've never actually looked it up because it's never been an issue before.
Because you won't be a real Texan until you've shot yourself a coyote, I assume.
The real question is, what do I do with the pelt afterwards? Can I hang it up like in the front, like fly,
it's a mangy
like, flag
pelt, though. It's a mangy pelt.
On the front? Do I have to turn it into a hat? Do I walk around in my coyote hat? I don't know.
That idea. Maybe like one of those Hercules. Get a cape, turn it into a cape where the head comes up over your head like a hoodie.
I like that idea.
I could tie the front paws around.
I could send the pelt off to American Giant and have them make a coyote.
Don't let your kid rub his grubby little fingers on it at dinner.
Wow. Don't worry. That would not be a dinner time hoodie. That would not be a dinner time hoodie. That would be a fancy. I don't know. I mean, I also like
pigs too. Pigs are a big problem in Texas too, like the wild pigs, like feral.
We have
pigs.
There's a bobcat. Right? There's a bobcat like half a mile from where
don't
I live.
Don't fuck with bobcats.
That just wanders around, like just giant bobcat, wandering around the yards. I'm actually much more worried about the bobcat than the coyotes.
Yeah.
Coyotes, like they.
Don't
they,
you have
you know,
a dog?
Well, I do.
Your dog is
going to
die.
Dog.
I know.
I
your
small
dog is going
like,
to die.
The,
Texas is not meant for small
the
dogs.
Dog.
I'm much more worried about because the bobcat, I assume, will like hop fences and stuff. The coyote's not going to hop fences.
This is what you see
coyotes,
videos of. Like,
just going.
You see those videos where the woman calls and there's a bobcat in her kitchen? You know, that kind of a thing.
Yeah. No, I don't. That bobcat, I don't like that bobcat being around. That is much worse. Anyway, so the big question, I assume... I own a handgun because I am a Texan. I carry it around and just, you know, kind of fire it into the air sometimes. I assume that it has the stopping power to take down a bobcat or a coyote, but I have never tested it. I've never tested, and I don't actually know. I assume
you can shoot
it's
it in self
upon.
Defense.
I'm sorry. The chances that you could hit
upon.
One of these animals with a handgun,
well, that's
are
the
impossible
other thing.
To zero.
I would have to. I really need to go and get like a Remington shotgun.
Yes.
I need to go get like a $3,000 shotgun. Yeah. You know, a fancy one. That I can that I'll
fancy
probably end up,
polished.
I'll
wood.
Probably end up shooting my foot off with it. But
that's
you know.
Well. Otherwise, your dog is going to die. So. Yeah.
Let's be honest. If a bobcat or a coyote has my dog, I will not be able to run into the house and get whatever weapon it is that I need and get back
You're
outside
in Texas.
In time
you'll
to
be
save
carry,
it.
You'll be carrying that shotgun around with you
I'm not
wherever
gonna,
you
I'm
go.
Not gonna walk around. I'm not going to have like a scabbard
sure
over
will.
My
no,
shoulder
no, you'll
like
be like
Lorenzo Lamas in Renegade.
Sure you will.
I was going to say like Fabrizio in Godfather.
The Godfather.
Yeah, the
just wandering around the hills of Texas
the sawed-off
with my,
shotgun.
You know.
Just sling it over. Yeah.
Oh, so I have to get a sawed-off shotgun. Yeah, yeah, again, I don't know what I don't know. I've really got to look into the laws.
Wide blast.
In Texas. Sure, I don't know what the rules are on sawed-off shotguns.
Pretty
I don't know
sure
what
there aren't any
or
rules.
Open berry, carry. I don't know what.
Pretty sure you can do whatever you want with firearms in Texas.
Yeah.
It's also I think it's also different in like I am again in the city limits of Dallas. Limits. I think it's probably slightly
you
different.
You need a license
than it is,
for
like,
the minigun is what you need.
I should get
the Body Ventura, which, by the way, you could pretty much do with one hand. I don't know if you noticed this. The other one was just for a little bit of precision, but
I have been considering building an addition onto the house, and one of the things I am going to look into is a turret.
Ooh, I like that.
Turrets, so I can you know if worse comes to worst,
zombie
if things
apocalypse.
Get bad, I can run up to my turret and just like
pick,
like get one of those chairs that like rolls out, you know, like rolls out outside of the house.
Oh, is that your minigun sound? That's a good sound.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a controversial law passed, I think, in the 2020 session out in Tejas. That anybody who wanted to own a Hind 24 had to take a 90-minute class.
I don't know what a Hind 24 is.
Like an MI-24, the gunship.
Yeah, it's a Soviet-era gunship. It's basically a helicopter version of the A-10 Warthog.
Oh, yes. They have those in Red Dawn.
Yes. Rocket pods.
Yeah, that's the helicopter that comes over at the end of Red Dawn.
That's right.
I wish I had. If I had one of those, I would definitely. I mean, I would say I took the 90-minute class. I wouldn't actually do it. I'm not a cuck. Come on.
The helicopter is also very different from airplanes. You got to use both hands.
Oh, plus like the feet.
Everything. I talked to a guy once who was an Army helicopter guy, and it was just like. A whole other world. It's a whole other
I've
world.
I've seen Black Hawk Down too many times. Yeah. When
they make it look easy, but you cannot fly like planes. It's just completely different. So.
When I went to Israel, we flew in a helicopter, and I've like never felt more terrified in my life than like flying to the Golan Heights in a helicopter.
Did they give you the line about how? Oh, don't worry. If something goes wrong, you can always auto rotate down. Did they give you line?
No. They were just like, "We're doing this, and you just don't throw up." Like, okay, I'll try.
I went once on the a test prototype of Marine One that flew around with
your Sikorsky buddies.
Yes, and it was some rep with Burstyn Marsteller at the time, but it was me and Terry Eastland. That's a casual. Yay. We're going up
that
there. That's
like
a casual.
Victorina, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. So as you
were
can
you
see,
kicked out of the basement
by my father. He's here for the week.
Hey, can you bring him up for the show?
Did you guys watch Deep Water together?
It's very late. He's sleeping.
Did you watch Deep Water together?
I watched it on my laptop.
I bet he would love it.
You know, it's funny. So I brought him down. I went up to Jersey last weekend for my niece's confirmation, being her sponsor.
Hey.
And so, and then I said, I convinced, come down for the week because he usually does it. You know, a couple times a year. So I convinced him, change of scenery. So he's here at the house. I came home from work today, and my daughter is sitting on the couch, and my dad's there watching Wolverine, the one that takes place in Japan.
Ooh, I bet he likes Wolverine. That one.
Yeah, as he said, lots of action is what he says. And that's the one that, you know, I still haven't seen that from beginning to end. So every time I walk in, I had other things I had to do, like make dinner, but I felt like I wanted to just watch the whole thing.
It's really good.
I know. I remember that's what I told him. I said that you said it was really good, and he liked it. But he is a very low-maintenance, no-fuss guest. You know, he doesn't need to be entertained. He just likes having people around. Yes, Sonny.
Question. So as a confirmation sponsor,
yes.
If you're—
Twice now with my nephew and my niece.
If you're— is this one of these things? Is it like AA? Where if they get tempted by sin, they call you?
They could.
They say, Vic.
They would do that to
Vic.
God.
I would not recommend
Vic.
Calling Vic,
Vic
if you're tempted
this
by
is,
sin.
I would say,
I'm tempted.
This is the only sponsorship I do.
Maybe
I don't do
they could just talk to their mom.
I'd be a bad sponsor for the other thing. But,
okay.
Yeah.
You know, they were thinking about reduced gluttony.
That's right. And I try to ward them away from it. And I said, you know, just limit the shellfish, really. But stay away from the oatmeal. I said, stay away from the oatmeal because that's what comes. Oatmeal and beans. It was funny. I brought up again to my dad the insanity of him having shown my kids when they were younger Pan's Labyrinth at the house. I said, you know, even for my standards, I said that was a bit much. And my father completely, still defiant, by the way, he was like, he goes, it's fantasy. It's fantasy. I said, it's not fantasy. It's like the Spanish Civil War. Oh, no, it's fantasy. You know, that fantasy is like letting kids watch, you know, a Japanese animation regardless. Oh, you know, because it's just, you know, speaking of anime, over the weekend, Jujutsu Kaisen Oh, the movie, sliced its way into second place at the box office with $14.8 million. That could be Kaisen Zero. I don't know. And it is ahead of Uncharted, which is still there in third place with $7.8 million. And yet, perched again in first place is The Batman with $36.7 million box office slots.
One of these days, on one of these slow weeks, we're going to have to go see one of these random anime things that just show up.
Appear in second or third place. I'm like, what is this thing?
It's like a plus size. It's like a plussed up version of the random like Indian blockbusters that will show up in theaters and do like $4 or $5 million and show up on the top 10s. Like, everybody's like, what is this thing? We have no idea. No, these like special like 1 week or 2 week, you know, engagement things. Every once in a while they just go and they blow up and, you know, so this is a weird thing about Netflix that people don't really talk about or understand very much, but their animation is huge. Like
Netflix
mm-hmm. Netflix does a ton of business on like animation for adults, for young adults, really, anime, that sort of thing. And it is it's a huge part of their business. And
for adults who still live with their parents,
right? I mean, I use adults advisedly here. But yeah, it's like it does huge traffic. Nobody talks about it because it's totally out of the mainstream. Yeah. It's not in theaters. And like when one of these things does come to theaters, it's because it has an enormous following out in the real world, and people are excited to see it.
All right, cheap to make, relatively speaking. Yeah. Were you familiar with this one at all?
No. The only one of these that I ever have any knowledge of when they show up is like when there's a Dragon Ball movie that pops up in
Princess Mononoke, right?
Well, no, but that's different though. That's like the Spirited Away, the Hayao Miyazaki. Mm-hmm. You know, like
how do you say that again, Sonny?
I don't know. Hayao Miyazaki.
No, Miyazaki.
I don't know anything about any of these.
I think you're right
at all. It's totally like out of my range of cultural.
I think we should definitely do it. I'd be into it. I like anime, hentai, that sort of stuff is good.
Tentacle.
It's art and tentacle. It's called hentai.
Tentacle.
Tentacle.
Yes, that's right.
Tentacle animation.
But I guess there's going to be a shakeup in the box office next weekend, isn't there? Sonny.
Yeah, the Lost City.
The Lost City, which JVL was very excited about.
Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum.
Well, I want to see. You haven't seen it
I've
yet,
seen
son?
It. I've seen it. I'll have a review at the Bulwark Friday when you're listening to this. Go
give me
that review.
Just give me stars. How many stars, Sonny?
It's a solid 3 out of 4.
Wow.
A solid 3 out of 4.
For you? That's big. You know what? Don't answer
for,
the question.
For Sonny giving it for a movie where there's a woman as the star. That really, that's pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, that's
why it's not four.
No movie is perfect. No movie is perfect. So
what I wonder, and Sonny will answer it, is if we were right, we were talking about how much screen time Brad Pitt has because of the trailer and the whole deal. And the sort of...
We weren't wrong exactly, but we were wrong about the placement of like where exactly. We can talk about this. We'll talk. We're going to see it, right? We're going to next week.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
So we'll talk about it more next week. But
okay.
In terms of box office, I am like, I've been looking at the tracking numbers on The Quorum, and it is tracking better. It is tracking... Look, the studio is trying to say they're projecting 20 to 30 million. It's tracking like it's going to do 50 or 60.
Yeah. Oh, is it, they want to under it so they can say whoa.
They want to they want to shoot it. But look, it's still a weird time. This is a movie that is aimed at women more than men. I would say it is a movie that is aimed at a market that is not showing up for stuff. So maybe. And it's an original property. It's not based on IP. It's not a franchise. It's not based on a comic book. I mean, like, there are a lot of reasons why it might not succeed.
But it's about IP. It has fictionalized IP within it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
IP within IP, like a play within a play.
If this movie does what I think it's going to do, it will be the start of IP. It will be the start of a franchise. But again, I think this. I would be surprised if it did less than $50 million.
It'll be the new Alan Quartermain movies.
That's right. Those were good. Is Daniel Radcliffe, does he have to wear lifts in the movie?
No, he's just a small person.
He's just a small person, so they just play him as is. Okay. Can I ask you guys a question? Let me ask you a question. When you go to movie theaters these days, because I don't do this anymore, do you still get food? Do you eat in the theater?
Always.
I don't eat
anymore. It depends on where I go. If I go to the Draft House, mm-hmm. I almost always get popcorn and a soda. If I go to the AMC, I might get a beer.
Yeah, I don't.
But
yeah, I don't eat at AMC, but I see almost everything at the Draft House.
Oh, right.
And I try to combine with lunch.
So you actually go for a full meal.
Well, I try to be as efficient as possible.
Yes. Yeah.
So I do a meal with it. I do a movie at mealtime. Yeah. And I like the chicken Caesar salad. It's great.
Wow. A chicken Caesar salad while watching a movie. That's crazy. I used to like, when I was a kid, you know what I like getting? Goobers. Chocolate covered peanuts. That was really great. You know what the big
I see where you're going with this.
No, hold on. The big mistake was Juju fruit. You didn't want to get Juju fruit because that stuff gets stuck in your teeth, right? The only really good kind to get is like if you went to like you already know my dad. Come on, don't head me off at the pass here. Don't head me off at the pass. You know, if you go to some of these like actual confectioner places, you can get them. There's a place in Cape May that makes the most delicious, delectable, sweet tasting gumdrops. Speaking of which, Ana de Armas stars in Deep Water on Hulu, which is what we're discussing.
I knew where that one was going. The wind-up was you were running through all
miles away
to
get just to get to gum.
I knew exactly where this was headed.
Yeah, but did you know I was going to say gumdrops? Did you know I was going to say gumdrops? Really?
I assumed you were going to find something even more perverse.
Oh, no, no.
Frankly, I figured
it's the first thing that came to my mind was gumdrops. Deep Water on Hulu, starring Ben Affleck, too. This is what we're discussing, and it is on Hulu. Sonny.
Please tell me there's a Gene review. Please tell me we get Gene.
I have a lot of thoughts, though. Sonny, how about a Big Boy review?
I can't believe Gene didn't show up for this.
You know, the other day, I blanked out on his last name. Isn't that crazy?
He has a last name?
Yeah, I'm losing it.
Shallot.
Gene Shallot?
Yeah, I know. All right, go ahead.
Is there another Gene?
Yeah, Siskel. That's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, by the way, before you get into the review, I've been watching old Seinfelds. There is an episode where Elaine falls in love with the video rental recommender, Vincent, right? And turns out to be like this teenage kid. And then Kramer, he loves the pics by Gene. and it's like Weekend at Bernie's and all these horrible movies. Anyway, I always wondered if that was they were just channeling. Okay, go ahead, Sonny.
Okay. Deep Water, directed by Adrian Lyne, the Brit. Last movie he directed was Unfaithful 20 years ago, but is best known for his erotic thrillers in the 80s and 90s, among them Fatal Attraction, Indecent Proposal, Flashdance,
Lolita,
Jacob's Ladder, Lolita. He did the Lolita TV remake in 97, I think that was, with Jeremy Irons. We're going to be talking about Fatal Attraction in the bonus episode this week. So it's a Adrian Lyne doubleheader this weekend. So check that out. But Adrian Lyne is back. He's back. He's directing Deep Water. It features Ben Affleck as Vic, who is a retired magazine editor at a Idea of Journals, who has fled to New Orleans to get away from all of his cares about comma splices and the such. He is married to Ana de Armas. The character's name is Melinda, but let's just call her Anna. Let's just call Ben and Anna from here on out, because calling this guy Vic makes me uncomfortable.
The character invented the M-dash, and then he just went away. And then, people do with the M-dash is up to them.
What? The royalties on the M-dash?
The royalties on the M-dash are unbelievable. No, so in the movie, he He invented a microchip used in drones, which, you know, as he says in the movie, you know, it could be used to deliver food to starving kids, but it's actually used to kill people. That's what drones are used for. Ana de Armas stars as his wife, Melinda, who is cheating on him in front of all of their friends, and it makes them all very uncomfortable. To the extent that at one point early on, she's just flirting with this guy who looks a lot like Brad Pitt. Looks like kind of a
weird looking fella. Weird.
I described him as a Cro-Magnon Brad Pitt in my review.
That's exactly right.
He's got this big forehead.
Toxic Avenger version of Brad Pitt.
Yes. If
Brad
Pitt. Mane of
they
hair.
Couldn't find anybody else. It was like distracting to look. Weird. But interesting pick. It's an interesting pick.
And Ben tells this guy, hey, you know, I killed her last... I killed her last friend. He's gone missing, you know. I killed him. And we're not sure. Well, did he actually kill this guy? Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know. He definitely kills some people later on because what happens is she keeps cheating on him and he keeps killing people. And eventually Tracy Letts shows up and is like, I'm a writer and I like to find things out. And I'm going to find out what's going on with you, Vic Mattis.
I'm going to
track you down. I'm gonna track you down, Vic Mattis, and I'm gonna get you. No M Dash is gonna save you.
Tracy Letts before? Was he in Ford versus Ferrari?
Ford versus Ferrari, but he was also the Woman in the Window.
Oh yeah,
Did we do that? We did. The Woman in the He was the I think the therapist.
Yes,
in the Woman in the Window, so, yeah. He was anyway. I got distracted because I kept making my Vic jokes. It is like the 90s and 80s thrill. It is an erotic thriller. Mm-hmm. It is. There's lots of sex in this movie. A little bit of nudity. Frankly, there's not really that much nudity.
They give you the nudity right up front.
They give you the
then
nudity
you think
right up front.
Every
then you
scene after,
in.
You're like,
then
oh, it's
you
coming.
Settle in,
it's coming. We're going to get
you
it this
said,
time.
I can't believe I saved it to the end. Now I have to rewind it. Saved what? What am I talking about? What is that?
What
mean?
Are you talking
what
about? What are you talking
about? JBL just killed
anyway,
over.
This isn't a tease like that ridiculous Netflix movie Vic made us watch.
Still,
this isn't
that's
a tease.
Fascinating.
There's actual sex and nudity and it's great. Here's the thing. As a film, as just a piece of storytelling, the movie's a bit of a mess. Just as a piece of storytelling, just getting from beat to beat, moment to moment. For instance, again, spoiler: Tracy Letts just shows up in the final scene at the quarry or whatever that is that Ben Affleck is trying to hide his most recent murder victim. I have no idea how he got there. There's no shot of him following Ben Affleck.
Anna told him to go there. That's why.
Oh, that's right. Because she found the.
She left the scarf there. She left the scarf there on purpose. She knows that he killed it, and she thinks the body's there. She then tells him, and that's why that night she welcomes him into her bed. It is a sort
but
of
she doesn't,
goodbye.
She doesn't find the wallet until
she knows
after,
he's dead.
And that's
she
doesn't
that's
find
just
the
a confirmation.
Now,
that's
again,
the only reason
this,
she goes
this
into
a mess.
The snails.
The movie's a mess.
Also, that's what happens in the novel.
I haven't read the novel
didn't know
because
there was
readings,
a novel.
Readings for
Whoa,
nerds.
My goodness.
It's Patricia Highsmith. It's Talented Mr. Ripley. Author. Same
something else like that. I'll get to that.
Movie's a mess. The movie just, again, as a piece of storytelling, it is a mess. There are weird things, like, for instance, maybe JVL, you can explain this, but why does he have, like, an office, like a loft office where
he runs a
putting
poetry
up photos
and
of...
a poetry and photography magazine.
Okay.
That's his magazine that he runs for his retirement, is that he runs this magazine that seems like doesn't actually get sold. Like, he makes it for his own amusement when he's not mountain biking in business casual. Why he mountain bikes in business casual, I don't know.
Why does he mountain bike to the quarry?
Instead of driving?
Could somebody explain? Because I understand visually why you would want that in the movie, because it's so thrilling to imagine him, I guess, sideswiping the SUV with his bike.
He was gonna.
I don't understand.
Okay.
Anyway, again, I think the movie, just as a piece of storytelling, it feels like there's like 30 minutes of material that has been excised from this. One last question. JBL, question. I have Vic story questions. What's the deal with the snails?
No idea. This is one of the notes
metaphor
I have.
Metaphor for.
For what?
I don't know. I'm just waiting for you to fill it
bodily
in.
Bodily secretions?
So this is a movie in which nothing is paid off. Hmm. Like, it's a movie which is constantly offering you little things and then never paying them off.
Okay, so anyway, there were things that are happening.
Ben Affleck,
in this movie
you should explain
that
to people. Ben Affleck is obsessed with snails.
Ben Affleck has like a snail shed, yes, where he goes out and he just hangs out with his snails and he holds them on his hand and they're like
not creepy
at
all.
Slimy, they're slimy,
super
like him.
Creepy.
It's not like he wants to fuck the snails. Probably
he tells a story about how the snails will climb over a mountain or something to get to the other snail that they love.
To get to the snail they love.
None of this really works. That said, I still like the movie because it's delightfully tawdry in the way that movies these days don't make movies like this anymore. And I'm pro movies like this. Yeah. I want more.
Me too.
Sex romps.
Well, this
more,
yeah, this is
more
this
violent
is, you wrote
sex
about
romps.
This and
please.
This is it's back. It's delivering for you.
So anyway, I gave it a thumbs up.
Okay, all right,
thumbs so up.
Did we but actually
it's
explain
a,
what
it's
happens
a mess.
In the movie? Did
it's
we?
A mess.
Do you actually explain what happens in the movie? Which is
well, yeah, she's constantly cheating on him. She's constantly cheating on him, and he's murdering the people that
that's
she's
it.
Cheating with.
That's the movie.
What it, that's like. That's the
movie.
Whole movie
that's
right there.
That's right.
I mean that's it. And then the subtext to all of this is that this is how they get off with each other.
Yes.
Like she's tormenting him with the cheating and the cucking, and he is then killing everybody, and that gets her hot in return. Mm-hmm. And, like that's what's happening here. But
that's sick.
Anyway, thumbs up for this sick, disgusting pervert movie.
Victorino?
Yes.
I'm going to bet you loved it.
I did. It did very well on the quadrants. okay. I gave the plot an A because I thought I knew everything, but clearly I don't. But my sense was that...
You understood.
I understood, which is that...
You picked out the two big things.
Yeah, which two big things. I got the nub of the plot.
Oh.
So anyway, she cheats on him, and he's killing these guys who cheat on him. And as it turns out, as you mentioned, Sonny, she gets off. She gets off on it, and it's almost like does he get off? Like
I think he gets off on.
He gets off on it too. Okay, that's the plot. Duration was an A. It was under 2 hours, right?
Hour 50
action,
or so.
Action violence. JVL, you'll be interested in this one, and I wanted to bring this up. I gave it an A, and you know why I gave it an A?
Blunt force trauma to the head.
Oh.
Is that why?
It was, and it's funny because you mentioned Talented Mr. Ripley. That scene at the end was one of the worst things. That and also the other lover who bangs his head on the cement in the pool, which the sound of it sounded realistic and awful. But the guy in the end who Ben Affleck throws the rock at and he realizes that the blood is on his head, it reminded me very much of Jude Law when he gets the
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
And Philip Seymour.
Oh, no,
Hoffman.
Jill, yeah.
But it was Matt Damon who
Damon
then
hits him with
bangs
the
him on the head. And then it's the realization like, oh, my God. And what is that? And then it's over. That was very disturbing. So for the disturbing element, I gave that an A. And then Sex and Nudity, I gave it an A++++ because it's somebody I wanted to see. That's all I'm going to say. She's amazing and interesting and interesting. Interesting how? Just very interesting. I had a couple thoughts, but I'm going to go back. I initially thought, oh, this is a movie about, you know, cuckolds. But I'm like, wait a minute, who's being cuckolded over here? And then it's like cuckold's revenge. And wait a minute, you know, and she sees him. She wants him to see him and he is fine. So it's this weird dynamic of getting off on it. And I have other thoughts, but let me throw it to you, JVL.
So there are a bunch of things to talk about. One of the things to talk about is that this couple has a child. There's a child who's clearly age 5, and this child is present throughout pretty much the entire movie. And yet the two of them have time to pursue, the husband and wife, the mother and the father, to pursue all of their own interests, and for him to run a magazine hobby and to raise snails and her to just like bang every guy in New Orleans. And they also have time to then like bang it out together and all the time. And, you know, like they're at parties and she's like jacking them off at parties. And then they go on a picnic with their daughter. And this 5-year old, just who's an only child, just goes and amuses herself for like seemingly hours at a time so they can like do it at the picnic site. Mm-hmm. And I just thought to myself, this is the quietest, best behaved 5-year old in the history of the human race. If I took G Money, if my lovely wife and I took G Money out to on a picnic and then tried to, you know, have some husband and wife time, I would hear a constant stream that went something like, "Mom, watch this. I found a leaf. Look at this leaf. I can't believe this is an orange leaf. Do you have another juice box? Use the wrong peanut butter on my sandwich. I want to go home. Can we swim? Dad, watch this. Boy, this rock is pretty. I want to go for a walk. I'm tired. My legs hurt. Did you pack my potato battery?
My legs hurt.
You know, like this.
Did you pack my potato battery?
That's what the kid is playing with, right?
Oh, she's
playing
with
a potato battery. Yes, the potato battery. It's like a little.
Well, I think she's a little older than 5. I think she's like first grade.
I was reminded of Fatal Attraction again because of the kid, the dynamic.
The kid.
Well, yeah. Well, so here's, can I, so did you watch through the credits?
By yes.
No, what? There's
more? And they give you outtakes of the kids sitting in the back of the car.
So there's there's weird. Like a mid-credit scene, but it's the kid like sitting in the car singing. And then as the film comes to an end, they're playing Old MacDonald Has a Farm, which is a song. Yes. So here's, I think they're trying to suggest that the kid is in on it. The kid is in on the crazy making. The kid is driving the mother insane with the music, the repetition of the music, and knows that all of the murdering is going on. That's kind of hinted in the film. I think the kid is the impetus for all the killing in this.
Oh my gosh.
Sick kid,
because she was
crazy.
She says it to her dad in the bathtub.
Yes, crazy kid wants to see the murders.
Yeah. Maybe. The book is much more traditional. Like in the book, Vic is the bad guy, Melinda is the terrorized wife, and she and the novelist, played by Tracy Letts here, Don, are sort of working to expose Vic, and they do. And then at the end, Vic is arrested and Melinda is able to get on with her life.
Wow. This is
Boo.
Much different.
The movie is very different. And the most interesting thing about the movie is, I mean, we should just have a spoiler discussion, is that the movie ends on purpose very ambiguously.
Mm-hmm.
So she has set up her husband, Anna de Armas has set up Ben Affleck to be caught and exposed by the novelist. The novelist comes and catches Ben Affleck as they planned, but then the novelist accidentally dies because he's trying to drive and text at the same time in a scene which is kind of fantastic, because the reason he's texting as he's driving is because he is such a self-absorbed writer that he has to tell everybody that he's right and he's found a story that's going to make a best-selling book.
I mean, one of the best things is like one of his final words before he dies in a fiery crash is autocorrect.
Honestly, I thought to myself, this is the most true thing in this whole movie.
Yeah, it's funny.
The picture of the writer is this narcissist mm-hmm. who views all of this as material for himself. But then when Ben Affleck comes home and the wife is sort of surprised to see him show back up, we just sort of cut. The movie's over. Mm-hmm. And it's ambiguous as to whether she is kind of like, hey, I'm super into it. Let's go fuck again.
She wanted him.
Yeah,
she wanted her
this.
Husband to kill
that guy,
the writer.
I don't know.
He was
that's
collateral.
True.
I think it is 100%. The whole movie is about her behaving in a way in front of Vic to make him jealous and turn him violent. And then he does turn violent. And then when he does turn violent, she gets into him again and is like grabbing him and rubbing up against him. Like she is turned on by all
this. So that is okay. So I said
that is the text of the film. I mean, that's just what happens.
I totally agree. But so this is a thing which the movie never quite pays off, right? The whole time the whole time, it is clear that all of this thing is about a kink. And the question is the kink for him?
Yes.
Or is the kink
is for her?
For her, right?
That's right.
Is it that,
that's what that I thought that.
He needs it, he needs this? Well, no, this is right. I think this is right. Does he need this to be interested in her? Or does she need to make him like this so that he will be interested in her? But what is left unsaid, you know, it's never explained to us. Well, hold on. How did this relationship get there? And could we get a little bit of that when he talks about how we have a kid? And she's like, yeah, you want to do that. I didn't want to do that. And then there's this series of no payoffs where we're told a lot about the drone microchip and how this is a moral ambiguity. And then it's sort of dropped and we don't ever hear about it again. It honestly is not entirely clear that he didn't kill the first guy. There's a disappearance that happens before the movie.
And you're saying
and
we don't know.
We then are led to believe that he didn't do it, but not really. It is still 20% ambiguous. The snails are totally unexplained. There's a scene after he drowns and kills the first boyfriend he kills, where the cops show up and are interrogating all the people at the party together, which seems like maybe not a thing cops
do. This is like Clue.
And then the cops just leave and everyone's like, okay, well.
Never show up again.
They never show up again. The idea that the cops are onto him never shows up again. The collaboration between Anna and the writer, who she seems to be working with in an attempt to help get Vic discovered, that happens almost entirely off screen. We see very, very little of it. And then her betrayal of her husband at the end, again, it's left so ambiguous as to not really pay off, right? Yeah. Was she trying to get him to kill the writer, or was she trying to get the writer to get him arrested so she could move on and do like her own thing? Has she gotten what she can from him and she's now ready to move on and play these games with somebody else? And we don't know. None of this has paid off.
There was all sorts of, you know, symbolism, and some of it was so like heavy-handed. The scene in the car where she gets the apple and then she bites
the rotten apple.
Yeah, and she
the apple that's turning. Yeah,
and she offers it to Ben Affleck. Like,
she's like putting it in his mouth while he's driving.
You know, it's from the tree of knowledge. You know what I mean? It's Adam and Eve. You know, and so
I don't get it.
It's the complicity. The complicity. It's all about complicity. And the same thing with trying to make this connection with the drones, because sometimes, you know, it's meant to, you know, go after bad people, but every now and then innocent people get killed. And this is like, that was what I thought with with Ben Affleck killing the lovers. But I mean, then every now and then he kills somebody by accident, like the writer.
No, the stuff with the drones, I think is fairly, it's fairly obvious. Mm-hmm. It's just a metaphor for what is going on here, which is that wicked people, cheaters, are getting killed by righteous people, aggrieved husbands.
One of the weird things is, though, is he's not a very good killer. I mean, he's not an efficient. He's not like plotting it out, because anybody could walk in at any time. He just happens to kill them and get away with it.
He also kills the guy right in front of the writer in the pool.
Honestly, that's another thing I didn't like. So he is portrayed as this very, very smart guy, right? And the murders are really stupid. And even after he kills the guy with the rocks to do away with the body, he's like, I'll put him in six inches of water. Using my belt to tie a rock to his waist.
So, I mean, it's like, what? He's good, but he's not good. And it's, you know, couldn't he just have left him there and said, oh, I guess he slipped and fell. People do this all the time.
Right.
People fall.
You hear this all the time over here, you know? And so
it happens. I didn't like that either. There are parts of it that were lazy and
weird.
I feel like it didn't have the courage of its own convictions to actually show us what it really wanted us to be thinking here.
As a piece of storytelling, this movie is, again, it's a mess. Yeah. I am like perfectly happy to concede that. I still found it very entertaining.
Okay, so in the book, as you were saying,
it's also funny.
He gets caught.
It's like
weird.
It is like weirdly funny with the friends.
His friends are not. I like his friends. That's
his friends
funny
are funny.
I like his friends.
Dag Mishuk.
I think Ben Affleck is funny in this, and I think I don't know. Yeah.
You know what it is, though? It's like you're not convinced that he's not a smart killer, but he still is, for a guy who just mountain bikes around a lot. He's huge. He's big. You know. I mean, you see him there. He's a strong guy. So, but these other people.
That's in the other part of his loft, he's flipping truck tires over.
That must be what it is. No, he's in the pool. You see him from behind. Just like Bruce Wayne. And he's like the Hulk. I'm like, geez, okay. But in the movie, I thought, not having read the book, that there's no way that that it just ends with him getting away with it, because there's too many, you know, loose ends now.
Yeah,
at this point.
It makes no
sense.
He's
gonna find the
right?
body.
The body is still out there.
Two bodies.
The body is tied with his own belt. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the scarf, and the detectives are right. He's in their radar already. So I mean, that was just weird. But as Sonny said, it was still kind of. Kate, I watched it with Kate. She happened to walk in and walk in on me. No, she happened to walk in as I was watching it, and then ended up watching it with me from about 15 minutes in.
What did she think about the car scene when they're driving home from that party?
Awkward. It was awkward silence. She said she could the whole night. She said she was so disturbed by it. So disturbed. It was so disturbing, she says. I thought, again, this movie gets an A because it's a whole movie where Ana de Armas gets to call out the name Vic.
Yeah.
Which is really exciting. I just play that on a loop now.
That's a new part of the quadrant.
No big stuff.
Yeah. Who? What? If the hot actress calls out my name, you get special bonus points.
All right.
Bonus
so I got two things before we move off of this.
Please.
First of all, is it possible that the middle-aged Ben Affleck is a much, much more interesting actor than young Ben Affleck?
Yes. Yes.
Like George Clooney level of. I feel like he has entered a period where he is ready to do his best work now that he's 50.
I think so. I mean, obviously, he's a great director, too. But as an actor, too, I didn't like him as a young actor. I found him annoying. But now?
Yeah, I think he's doing... I mean, I've always liked Ben Affleck, but he is doing more interesting work now, certainly, than he was in his 20s and 30s.
But he's also just better at it. Like, he's a really interesting screen presence now in a way that young Ben Affleck is not interesting.
He's figured out how to kind of use his like
life experiences,
brooding dullness.
Yeah,
to his.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I mean, that sounds very negative when I put it that way. But he has a very specific and kind of interesting look that is not always very well used in a movie like this. Or in did you guys see The Way Back?
No, I didn't see that.
He's good. He's very good in The Way Back as well, as the kind of recovering alcoholic.
Yes, which is also kind of real life, isn't he? His drinking problem.
Yeah.
Did he give up drinking, or is he still ish?
Hard to say. Okay.
And I just rewatched Batman versus Superman, and I want to talk about this a little bit on the bonus. I have come around on him as Bruce Wayne.
Wow,
maybe the best Bruce Wayne.
Best
Bruce Wayne.
We'll save it for the show.
Okay.
Get on the bonus. All right. But here's the other thing. I want to talk just a little bit about the state of Hollywood. So we have really observed the decline of the theatrical movie business over the last couple of years. And I think having now watched Deepwater, I figured out how to save movies. All right. Here's what we need. We need to remake Wild Things, starring Ana de Armas and Alexandra Daddario. Would that make all of the money?
Yeah.
No, because it would just wind up on HBO Max.
I'm sorry. Is this not the most genius idea ever?
That's great.
No, it's not, because people don't want to go see. This is why this movie got sent to Hulu, is because people don't want to go see movies with nudity anymore.
That's terrible.
That's not true. They just want to see movies with like Jason Segel's junk.
Right. Well, they don't want to see. Well, nobody wants to see that.
Yeah. Or prosthetic ones, like in that other Pam and Tommy. Okay. And
again on TV.
Yeah. Any other thoughts? Moving on. Yeah. Okay. Spirit of the week. Corrections. Shout outs.
No.
Quiet
got nothing
this week. Same here. Okay then. That's all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, compliments. Tweet us at SunnyBunch at Victorina Mattis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on Patreon. Just go to subbeacon.com. We're there. Tell your friends. Until next time. All right, what do you got? Something,
I don't know, man.
Anything.
It's
Nothing.
This stuff that's going on in my life that we will talk mm-hmm. about in a few
oh,
weeks.
Oh, right.
Hopefully,
I was wondering if we were going to talk about it today.
No. Can't jinx it, but it has eaten up an enormous amount of time.
How much longer until?
Not until things are 100% certain.
No, but I mean, like, isn't time table, like exactly. What do you have when how many more weeks until things?
Five.
Oh God, so many weeks. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'm sure it'll be fine.